You thought that was funny. Holmberg's morning sickness. You were laughing like a hyena when he said it. What the hell is wrong with you?
There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Wednesday. It is 5:45. This is the Morning Sickness. My name is John. There's Brady. There's Brett. There's Toledo. And here we go. Off and running for a glorious day. Once again, I have to just start with a recommendation for, I don't like TV. I don't like movies much anymore. Nothing's really good. Occasionally we'll run into something that's like, that wasn't bad, but nothing's been like, holy crap, good. I got something. The girl I know in Las Vegas, the casino hostess up there named Erica, texted me last night because we share a lot of TV show similar. And she goes, Baby Reindeer on Netflix. It is dark and it is creepy and it's awesome. It's about this big fat stalker girl who starts kind of stalking this dude who wants to be a comedian, but he's a bartender. Oh, my God. Episode 4. If you can get through it without making one cringy feeling, and it is hard to make me cringe. I am not a guy who goes, oh, that's uncomfortable. It's just TV. Dr. Pimple Popper can't make me as uncomfortable as what goes on in Episode 4. It is. That's a good one.
And you're still in it.
Oh, I'm in it. It's cringy in a good way, like Silence of the Lambs type cringy. Like, oh, my God. Like, if this, you can't imagine what's going on. And it's Episode 4 totally deviates from the stalker thing. Shows you this other thing it had. Oh, it's great.
Baby Reindeer.
Baby Reindeer. You may not like it. You might like it. You may. This may be something you're like, well, I'm not looking at that. There's some stuff in there that is, yeah. It's, yeah. There's trans stuff. Not sure. That's not a bad thing, but there's some scenes in there of a man taking advantage of another man, and some it is, yeah, it's like oh. And it's not the gay thing, it's the situation.
It's creepy
for you. It's both. Me, I like watching the gays do it. Ugh. It's new. It's exciting.
Twinking ain't easy, but someone's going to do it.
Twinking ain't easy. And you really realize how hard twinking is, especially ain't never twinked before. The shower part, where he's in there and he realizes what happened to him and how he realizes what happened to him, is pretty great. Baby Reindeer. It's British. And the girl in it is about as creepy to me as... I mean, when I watch TV and movies now, all I see is... I don't see a lot of talent. I see a lot of acting. It bothers me. I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. Everyone's acting, and it's not very good. It feels like I'm watching a high school play almost all the time. You know who did that is goddamn Marvel movies. They made everybody just sleepwalk through scripts to the point where it's like, okay, nobody even tries anymore. This one is, like, legitimate, and it's a true story. That's the other part. It's based on a completely true story. The dude who stars in it, had it happen to him, he wrote it. It's, oh, I don't know where it's going to go. And my bigger disappointment with most TV and movies, too, is that nothing knows how to end properly. Everything kind of sucks. Last episodes are always crap.
Oh, yeah. And by episode 4, you know why they call it, title it, Baby Reindeer?
You know why they call it Baby Reindeer. Okay. pretty early on. It's you'll see if you want to watch it. It's, but man, oh, man. The chicken is ridiculously good at being unwanted on your television. In a completely, like, almost sad, oh, it's got, you just got to watch it. I don't enjoy much when it comes to entertainment, but that's a good one there. I like true crime stories now. I've just become a housewife, a suburban housewife. I like true crime. I like the ID Network.
Just a step
I like,
away from move to Gilbert
ghost
now.
Hunting. Yeah.
And I mean, you're getting to that point.
This is no, it's nowhere near ghost hunting. I'm still not a low IQ'd moron. I'm just a housewife. That's basically it. I don't do the podcast, but yeah, it's a Gilbert thing. It's a very Gilbert mom thing. I would go to Postinos and chat it up with the girls for Mean Girl Murders and the ID Network's Evil Lives Next Door. And There's some good ones, but for the most part, and the fact that this actually is a true story, and then I went on, I'm like, how true a story is it? It's the dude went down like he read it down like this happened. Like, oh my God, it's crazy, and I loved it. Not done yet though, so maybe just hold off. But I stayed up till about 11:30 watching. Four episodes last night. I'm staying up late. I'm not going to. I didn't. I wanted
half hour, 1 hour episodes.
They're about 40 minutes. I wanted to keep going. But baby reindeer.
I must stop.
And the funny thing is, and this is this plays on how I feel, is like the way society works. Any of us could fall for, if we were in a position, the rather unattractive, larger, lonely lady with the great laugh. Like, you're supposed to not be judgy and weird about it because you look like, yeah, I'm the same way, Brad. Nah. But you could sit and go, oh, she's harmed. She's fine. But what you're doing, it's kind of girl incels. It's the way girls feel about the office weirdo. You don't want to lead him on at all because he might get the wrong idea real fast, real easily. And the next thing you know, you got some stalker in your hands. Same thing with the lonely girl who's kind of gross, physically gross looking, you know, but she's kind of got a nice personality. It's like you start being nice to her and now you've opened up Pandora's big fat box.
Martha's nice.
Yeah, Martha's nice. Don't read about it. Don't go researching and reading.
I just had to look at what you're talking about.
Yeah, you can look at it. It's a TV show. Look at it on Netflix.
It looks like it fits very well.
Don't go diving in. Oh, yeah. It's got some darkness to it. And I like dark. And nobody knows how to write dark anymore. Everybody thinks they put dark out and then it ends with some, you know, socially correct nonsense crap. I hate bad endings. Especially now when you're not episodic. It's not week to week. And you get into something and you're like, all right, I'm into this. And then you kind of feel bad stopping. And then it just ends like crap. Again, we always talk about Mad Men.
Yeah, yeah.
How terrible the ending to Game of Thrones.
I didn't watch that one. But
and you feel like you got involved in something, then it ends. I blame Marvel movies. The second every one of them had the superhero landing, where they land with one arm up, a knee, one knee down, and then they look up at the camera and you're like, oh, formula in place. Then the movies became formula in place. Then the acting was just like sleepwalking. It was terrible.
I think it's the Black Widow movie actually makes fun of that.
Well, good. But then it went right into the pattern. It makes fun of itself then, because right into the pattern afterwards of cookie cutter plot. They made it so nobody had to try. We were going to show up no matter what. Fast and Furious, they don't need a script. They don't need to try. We show up. It's bad. This one's not so much that. This is unique. And boy, do they take some risks in that episode 4. It could have just told you about it. Didn't have to show you the penetration. Oops, I let a little out of the bag.
All right, I'm out.
It's fingers, though. Don't worry. He's incapacitated. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Just wait. It's such a weird, dark episode that before it starts, it gives you a trigger warning. Not like, you know, viewer discretion advised. Like, this is going to make some people pop. You might want to turn away.
It's like 40 minutes of a Brett video.
You know, a little more graphic, and yes. It's a good story. It's very train spotting in its own kind of, like, the guy's Scottish, and it gets into some seedy weirdness. Love it. Baby Reindeer. Highly recommend that. Good stuff. Don't do it during Larry's show. He'll get upset that you left, but, you know, when you get some time at home. I got an email. Remember the guy who emailed us a while ago who was a 911, 911 operator? And he said he was going through some PTSD, and people didn't realize how much 911 operators can struggle hearing the things they hear and being part of the things they hear. Well, oddly enough, he emails us, I guess it was back in, it was March, I suppose, early March, maybe late February. It was March 5th. His name is Derek, and Derek emailed and said, you know, he's had a lot of bad calls, took an especially nasty one that he didn't expect to get him, and then suddenly he can't sleep, he can't move on. The call made him so he didn't want to answer the phone at work, which is not good for a 911 operator, for a guy dispatching the bad guys. And so he took time away, and he's got, like, PTSD. He's been diagnosed with all sorts of depression and everything else, and he was feeling bad. He emailed us and said, thanks to us, he's feeling good. not just us, therapy and stuff, but he used us as a little crutch to go normal life. Occasionally I can get a laugh out of this and just kind of escape. So we
Keep
were happy.
Going.
To, yeah. So nicely, another listener yesterday, or I guess it was a few days ago, emails and says, hey, whatever happened to that 911 operator? Did you ever hear from him? I've been thinking about him. He sounded pretty down. Is everything okay? So I researched on my emails. I just put in 911 operator. He's the only one who's ever emailed me and mentioned it. And sure enough, it finds him, goes back, and I just emailed him. I said, hey, out of the blue, a listener emailed me and said he was concerned still about you. Your letter hit a nerve with him, and he was curious how you were doing. He gets back to me. Derek gets back to me. He says, man, I'm surviving. I'm workers' comp, PTSD, and counseling. Slowly helping, still have a ways to go. I listen to the show religiously still. Even got my girlfriend to go keg hunting with me the other weekend. We were unsuccessful. John, this is the craziest thing I've ever been through. I loved my job. I love Valley Police work. It was my home. All my friends are there. I got hired when I turned 21. I was there 6 years before. And that was 6 years ago. The only thing I ever knew, I love the adrenaline rush. It goes on and on. He said he goes into the call. I'm not going to get into that. The thing that got him, mentally unstable people on the line that was going on in the background while he was listening. It was really bad. He said, I don't mean to bring it down. I'm taking advantage of counseling. I'm doing the things I love. Then it says this. And the reason I'm reading this, you'll get in just a second.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Says your show's been helpful, believe it or not. I hate silence. I have to have something playing. So basically, just as long as we keep rattling the cages, we'll be all right. He said, thank you to that other listener for reaching out and checking on me. The support and the fact that someone was thinking about me actually means the world to me. Thank you for all you do. He said, by the way, here's a photograph. And he included a photograph of his friend who works for the police department arresting Mr. Orange, which I found. That was nice. Nice little addition. Then it says, respectfully, Derek. And I'm like, well, that was nice. And then for some reason, I had to scroll down for the P.S. But the P.S. says, and this is from a guy who just poured his heart out to me about, you know, people caring about him. And P.S. I was watching the live stream during the keg hunt. Holy crap, your Junos is big. Christ almighty. Thanks, Derek, you doucher. I spent time worrying about you. I could smell trouble with this giant Juno. Who does that? All this. I mean, if you look how long this is. I read the whole thing. I'm like, oh, this is lovely. I'm glad he's okay.
And that's another good sign he's coming out of it.
Well, I guess. Or
PTSD.
Or it depressed him further that somebody's got to live with this. And it's, oh, my God. Somebody should call 911 on your dad.
I don't know. It helps him. Kind of grounds him. Like, you know what? I think I have it bad.
I think
when
he's okay.
When I look at that nose.
Yeah. Holy shit. You've got a big Jew nose. Hey, look, Captain Depresso.
You know what? I take it back.
Yeah, I take it all back, Derek. Hey, why don't you go ahead and walk out into traffic? I laughed. I thought it was very funny. But how about that? Through all that, you know, this is what happened, and I just feel like ending it all. Then I saw your Jew nose, and everything felt a lot better about
feel
my
so
life.
Bad,
God, how do you do it? Why haven't you hung yourself by your Jew nose? I mean, if I was you, I'd try to suffocate myself, but you need a team of people to plug those giant nostrils. Shut up, Derek. Get back in bed and start crying where you belong. Now I'm going to just mess with Derek, the 911 operator. I'm just going to ask him for his phone number, and I'm just going to make random 911 crank calls to his house. Someone's inside my nose. The call is coming from in the nose. But I giggled at that, so I'm glad he's okay. But, wow, you know, and the real hero in this one, not just Derek doing his job and stuff, some listener.
The listener follow-up.
A month and a half later, hey, whatever happened to that 911 guy? I was concerned about him. And that's a little baby reindeer, if you ask me.
Now, the real hero is your Juno.
Well, all right.
You know, I mean, he it got him through some difficult times.
That is true, Brett. That is true. Why, if I was born with a normal nose, maybe I'd have been a model. Instead, it kept me hiding in a radio microphone and learning how to deflect with comedy. I think you're right. The Junos is the hero
here.
There you go. My Junos is practically patent. Popping up out of a tank. Darn. Ah, my Junos. Screw you guys. But it could help. And then there's the story that I talked about yesterday that's now it's getting national attention and stuff about that dude that wandered into that house. They've called him the pedophilic burglar. You can stop at pedophile. You don't need to add burglar to that. If you're a pedophilic burglar and you come in and go, I'm the pedophile burglar, right? Well, I'm going to go guard the kids. You have at everything else. The burglar part doesn't bother me at all. What about the, like, you can have the word pedophilic in front of pedophilic hamburglar, and suddenly you're just handing that guy a bunch of burgers going, is this going to cover you for a little bit, like half of it? Pedophilic guy who cured cancer. You still have a few questions about the first word. He's just a pedophile. If he took a couple, you know, items off the shelf, consider yourself lucky that he didn't act on the first part of his title. But, yesterday we were talking about it. He was in a person's kid's room. I thought it was a daughter. It's their son. 4-year-old kid. And and evidently the dad started to rough him up. I was talking about it because on Next Door app, all the comments were like, oh, good. Use violence in front of your 4-year-old to show how it solves problems. I'm like, yep. Yeah, absolutely. Did you hear? The pedophilic burglar was in the house. I'm using a whole bunch of violence on that. That's maybe the worst title of a criminal. Other than genocidal burglar, I guess maybe. Even still, I think both are really bad. Burglar part, not necessary. The pedophilic pickpocket. There's half of that is just not a thing. Pedophile. Boom. Across the board. That's it. And evidently he made contact with the 4-year-old that made it. So they're like, all right, we could consider this a sexy crime.
It's confirming that he knew what was in the room. That he was so drunk that he was.
Oh, he was that drunk too.
Yeah, and that he's like in his mind.
Because they
he
caught
thinks
him.
He's in the bedroom. He's getting ready for bed.
They caught him. He said, I don't know. I was so drunk. I don't know what I did.
Yeah.
So, but what you did is going to get you the title pedophilic burglar.
That's going to stack on there pretty easy.
So you're a pedophile. Well, no, I'm also a burglar. I mean, like, that's the good part. Like, no, you're getting it all wrong. I'm more burglar than pedophile. Like, no, there's no degrees here. That's it. The pedophilic burglar. Not a good band name.
No.
Yeah, I'm the pedophilic astronaut. It's like, ew, I'm an astronaut, goddammit, I'm a hero. Nah, but the whole thing you said before, that ruins everything. Proving my point once again that once you get attached to that word at all, you are out on society. That's it. There's no comeback. None. You cannot be brought home, forgiven, anything. I don't know. I don't want to forgive you. I don't want anyone to forgive you. Certain things are forgivable. That's one of them. You're just like, no, you're done here. You're touching kids, little 4-year-old kids. You're breaking it drunk or other. I've been really drunk before. I mean, really drunk. Never did pedophilia cross the brain. Like, I'm so drunk. Kids are hot. No. It's not the alcohol that does that. I'd be all for banning it. Nobody gets so drunk that kids suddenly are on the radar. You're going into the game with that. It drops your already installed inhibitions. That's it.
You can understand to a certain level. That one is probably too far. I mean, I had a friend in college that was so drunk, he thought the turntable was the urinal. Lifted the lid.
Sure. I can see you peeing in the wrong place.
Maybe.
A little bit.
Working it.
Nuisance. Probably should lay off the sauce. He does dumb things.
But to any other one, you know, to do it to that level?
To me, drinking to excess like that, the worst that's going to happen is you're going to do something you've always wanted to do sober. It's in your brain. This dude doesn't like going to the bathroom. He likes peeing. He wants to just go when he feels it. So he's like, ah, and said, because I had my ex-girlfriend. I talked to her a few years after we broke up. This was the one who wrote me the Brian Adams letter. She came back. Imagine that. And that was when she wrote the Brian Adams letter. We broke up. We moved on. Oh, she did. I was a mess. She moved on. She ends up going with this guy who's a Marine who in the middle of the night comes home drunk once. And this is why she wrote me the Brian Adams letter. Comes home drunk and wakes her up and he goes, I could kill you anytime I want to. Then he went into the closet and started peeing. And then she wrote me the letter, like, right after. Like,
you weren't so bad after all, Junos. Why does everybody sign off like that?
At the end of this beautiful letter she plagiarized from Bryan Adams, it said, love, Jacqueline. P.S. Holy, I forgot how big your Juno was.
The assault happened at 4 a.m. She was panning the letter at 6 a.m.
6 a.m. She's ready to, I need to move in with Junos. This guy knew, so we went to the closet, peed all over her clothes. And to me, I told her, too, and I think this didn't help the reconciliation. Although I got back in there once. That's why she wrote the letters. Like, I can't live without that. I told her, I said, he was mad enough at you that he's always wanted to pee on your clothes, and the alcohol was his excuse to do it. You don't get so drunk, ever, to sit back and go, oh, I was out of control. It's something you've always wanted to do. That's why when drunk guys walk up to their bosses, they go, I want to tell you something. It isn't the alcohol. It's what's been stirring around in their sober brain for a long time. The alcohol says, go do it.
Well, it's been called the truth serum.
It's sort of a truth serum. It's more of an inhibitions releaser. You're not necessarily telling the truth because you're babbling, you know.
But you're saying stuff that you normally wouldn't say.
Extreme amounts of racism usually pop out of people. And you're like, oh, he's been harboring that for a long time. That's how I know who a real racist versus somebody who's like, not, you know, like me, like a bigot towards all people, whites included. But I've never been so drunk that I just start shouting out slurs and all that stuff. This song will always make me laugh. But yeah, she had that. And, you know, that's a rough way to wake up, is that the guy you're with, after you're with an angel like me, wakes you up with the murder threat and then pisses on your clothes.
Sleeps off for a little bit. Good morning, honey. How are you?
Why does it smell in here? Oh, did I get so drunk I pissed all over your outfit?
Yes.
I don't know what I was doing. He knew what he was doing. And then sober him's like, oh, I can't believe I actually did it. Been thinking about it.
I said that?
And then you act like you didn't know. But when you're a pedophilic burglar and you blame the alcohol, it's not the alcohol's fault. If alcohol did that, it would happen all the time. There's a lot of drunk people every day. They'd be like, oh, alcohol makes you a pedophile sometimes. Nope.
Never.
You've been drunk too. You've been blitzed. Been with Brett when he's staggering. Brett's weird about getting drunk because he turns a little bit into like a mummy.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
Brett doesn't get stagger around screaming drunk. Nope. Brett gets that. I've killed a lot of people
quiet.
Drunk.
Whoa.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Where he just kind of gets. He's like silent witness over there. He just stays quiet. Whatever happens around him happens. I remember I was at a wedding with Brett. Single swinging dick. Brett was there, and I didn't know he was as drunk as he was. And there was a chick at this wedding that was. Everybody's like, Brett, congratulations. You are back on. This is, you are going to hose for hours. This chick's totally in.
No.
Brett's hands were down to his side, and he's just kind of, he looked like a buoy. He was just kind of bobbing around a little bit. I'm like, I don't think Brett's here anymore. No, he's pretty much gone. And this girl's climbing on him like a jungle gym. Next day, I'm like, how was that?
I just went right to bed.
I didn't touch it. You got in a car with Ted the next day and threw up all the way home.
Oof.
But I've seen you super drunk, and you never once said, let's go to a playground, because alcohol doesn't do that to you.
Let's go pee on somebody's clothes.
Right, you're already a pedophile before the drinking. You just haven't acted on it yet, and the alcohol is the key to creepy that unlocked that door. Alcohol does not cause the problem. You were the problem, and then you decided to combine the two. But pedophile, burglar, I don't care about burglar part.
What a combo.
Yeah, well, everything. You can say, what a combo. You put pedophile before anything, it's what a combo. And there's only one that matters. Pedophile murderer is the only one worse. He, you know, takes out his victims, but
originally,
man.
I was there to steal.
But then
I wandered into a bedroom.
Seeing as how I'm multitasking, I'm also a pedophile, and there was a four-year-old, so I put down the Hummels, and I went and tried to, and then the dad came in and started to fight me. Violence in front of children, how dare you. And that's where you have to just check the lady on next door. There was a couple of them who had the problem with the dad violently removing him. And you know, people saying, you should have shot him in the head. Oh, violence in front of a four-year-old. That's a good idea. It was like, Did you hear what they call this guy? The pedophile burglar? You want your, you don't think, you think it's worse that your kid saw some violence to fight off a pedophile than it would have been to, what, you're supposed to go open the door for him and call him out like a puppy? Come on, let's go outside. No pedophilia inside.
Nah, I still say shoot him.
I mean, if I had time to say, hey, cover your eyes, earmuffs. Yeah. Daddy's got to get to work here real quick.
Yeah, I got to start throwing some bows.
We're going to go in the other room.
Let me take the pedophile burglar out of your room, Hans Buns.
Daddy!
No, violence doesn't solve a thing with the pedophile burglar. If you're in my house, and I don't expect you in my house, and it's like 2 in the morning, I'm going to assume you're a pedophile burglar.
Game over.
I'm making the worst assumption ever, and thanks to the news, I now can, with a title... Uh-oh, got one of those pedophilic burglars in the house. And the guy's just there. No, I'm not a pedophile. I'm like, yeah, I don't trust you. I'm just a burglar. Not tonight, just because there's no kids here. Always assume it's a pedophile burglar and rid them of the world. They're from the world.
He'll get more when he's in jail. He's like, I could have had a Picasso, but if it wasn't for that four-year-old.
Yeah, really got distracted in that millionaire art collector's house. Being a burglar... That's hard enough, but add in the pedophile part, and there's some real, you know, I got to stay focused. Damn it. I see a crib. I'm never going to get all these Venus de Milos out of here. Yeah, that guy needs to just drop the burglar part from his card. You know, nobody ever puts, like, rapist accountant. You're no longer an accountant anymore. You trumped it. It usurps whatever the second thing is. I'm a murderer firefighter. Oh, not a firefighter anymore. The worst, it's, you know, it's like having a minor in college. I majored in psychology. I minored in communications. Shut the f*** up. Who cares what you aren't going to do? It was my sec. I don't care. Shush. Shush, shush, shush. Majored in pedophilia. Minored in burglary a little bit. So I dabble. Yeah, pedophilia in front of anything, you're pretty much done. So this dude, they had him. They finally caught him. They had him on video all over the house. I'm happy for, you know, literally not a lot of people got hurt, except I'm unhappy that the pedophile burglar isn't hurt worse. Like, at least break an arm. Do something to the guy. Well, he's climbing the fence. Take a bat. You got to have a bat or a golf club or something. You need to whack him one time.
12-gauge.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, okay, so I guess your child learns that if someone breaks into his room, that the only way to solve that is through some type of violence. Yep. You're right, absolutely.
Yep.
Anybody breaks into your room and you try to be a pacifist at that time, guess what? You're going to become a victim quickly.
I tried to talk him out of it, but there was just no reasoning with the pedophile burglar.
You hear yourself, dumbass?
Imagine that.
Crazy. It's just bananas.
Thank God we got him because
yeah.
Well, it could have been like the Paradise Valley. The 138 houses have been burglarized and pedophiled.
And pedophiled. Like, yeah. I said that. Can't pedophile a house. But I see what you're going with.
It's a new description.
Would they even care? Like, would you even report that? He broke into our house. He touched my son. There's also a few things missing. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Well, really, I checked after the son got pedophiled, as Brady says. And I went around. I guys got my PlayStation 2, by the way. I was pretty pissed off. He's a pedophile and a burglar. You don't care about what got stolen. There's only one thing that matters here. Stupid. Yeah, your business card says pedophile / anything. You're not the anything part. I'm a world-renowned oncologist / pedophile. Oh, okay. We don't care about your cancer research anymore.
I'm an actor. Can I take your order, please?
I'm a pedophile actor. Can I start you guys off with some drinks?
What?
I like to act, but I'm waiting tables. That's what actors are all waiters. Anyway, so I ask of our jail listeners just one thing. Don't cut them any breaks for being a burglar. Don't try... you know what to do. You boys know what to do.
Sending the sisters in after him?
When the pedophiles, burglars, show up to the cell, you boys know how to handle it. And then next door app lady who's got a problem with, you know, not trying to call in a social worker and chat down the situation with the pedophile burglar, just know this. the justice inside those gray walls, that's what most of us are feeling. And that guy's not going to make it through much jail as a pedophile burglar. And how dare you, pedophile burglar, disparage the good name of alcohol by trying to make that the reason why you have these feelings. That has nothing to do with it. I had three drinks last night watching Baby Reindeer and never once thought, this is a good idea. Alcohol doesn't make you do bad things that you didn't already want to do. Certainly isn't any creation or excuse for pedophilia or burglary for that matter. Ever. I have what I like to consider litter Tourette's. Alcohol brings that out in me. That I like to litter when I'm drunk. But I know the real me. There's times when I'm just driving along in my Jeep and the windows are down and I just want to chuck my trash out onto the street. I don't know why I have these feelings. I think it's Greta Thunberg. I don't know. I just feel the need to litter. I fight it. I fight it every day. I want to chuck things out of my car windows just to litter.
Your demons are strong.
It's yeah. a weird thing. But
don't
I,
drink. It's only going to get worse.
Litter Tourette's like you have no idea. And when I drink, I like knocking things over. I went to a grocery store once, and I was a little drunk, walking through. We were getting snacks. And I just remember thinking, all this stuff so well organized on these shelves sure would look better on the ground. So I just started to knock stuff off the shelves onto the ground. I started to litter. I started to throw things down. I'm like, this is pretty great. It was a dick move. That's what drunken things do. But I am deep down, I'm not a recovering litter bug. I'm a litter bug. It's day to day. Every day is a day that I don't litter is a good day for me.
I fight those demons daily,
I fight my litter demons like crazy.
In your car sometimes is a good resource. There's a lot of litter in that car.
Sometimes I throw down a lot of things on the ground. And
it just accumulates before you.
You see it. You see it sometimes when I'll put a Coke can.
Empty cans
I'll put it
in
under
your parking spot all the time.
Most of the time it's in yours. And then
trying to put it in my.
I put them under your car tires. Yeah. And that makes me giggle. I like it. When I'm riding my bike and a bottle, water bottle, falls out of the little holder, I take that earth. I don't know why I get a kick out of littering. I like it. But then I go, stop it. Then I go back and I try to pick up. Things like that. When I'm drunk, I like to litter. But it isn't the alcohol that makes me litter. I want to litter a lot. But when I'm drunk, it kills the guy who stops me from littering. It makes my litter bug stronger. He's already in there. I got that. Do you have one? Do you have a thing you're like, when I get drunk, I dot, dot, dot?
No, not really.
Some chicks want to be strippers. We all know the girls that keep it together until they've got a couple of pops in them. And the next thing you know, Susan's topless. How did that happen? We also have had some coworkers that like to say the N-word.
Oh, yeah. And not me. And not me.
No, Brett doesn't do that. Brett just laughs at racism. But I think that's why I love what you laugh at. Like, are you kidding me? He hears things that are accidentally racist before most of us. And when he's laughing, you're like, all right, what slur was out there?
The world is just crazy.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
That's the fun part of it. Brett finds humor, but that's what.
That's kind of me drunk, though. I just laugh at everything. I just have
you
fun.
Become a giggle.
Yeah,
I've seen it where it's the certain alcohol, like I know people that can't have hard alcohol. They're only beer and wine. If they go hard alcohol, then it comes
brings out.
Out
their inner litter bug. But it is who you are anyway. It's what's inside you that the alcohol takes free. You don't become something. It's there. I will litter, and I mean a lot, when I'm drunk. I'll just throw stuff onto the ground. But I find it hysterical because it makes other people have to scramble. I think it's funny. You know who else has that? When we golfed with him? Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon and I talked about our inner litter bugs. He said it to me. We're in the golf cart, and it was like I met a brother. He goes, I'm dying. We're on this golf cart, and it's more pristine the better. I'm dying to just throw these cans out onto the course. And I'm like, let's do it. And he goes, no, we can't. I'm like, I know. Isn't it brutal to have an inner litter bug? But I'd rather have that than add in the word pedophile litter bug, because suddenly the litter bug thing doesn't seem so bad.
When I'm drunk, I just like to mutilate things.
poison.
Right. It's not the alcohol. It's you. You were born with whatever's going on there. The alcohol just made
you
it
so. You hate woodsy. Growing up.
There's got to be something where I was touched by an owl or I don't know. But I like the casual act of whoop, just throwing something out the car when I laugh.
Has this always been?
Oh, it's not as a little kid. Cigarettes are the only thing I drew the line at. I didn't want to start forest fires. I don't know why. And don't get me, I don't do it. I'm really good about it, except for the times around Brady's car. I find that funny.
Just think of this.
Iron Eyes Cody, yeah. Maybe it was that guy. I found those commercials with that crying Indian in front of the dump hilarious. Maybe that was it. Maybe it's some sort of make an Indian or an Italian dressed as an Indian sad day. And I thought, that's silly. And that was back when, I don't know what they were trying to do back in the 70s with Iron Eyes Cody. The only Indian any white kids knew about was Tonto.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It was just popular for people just to dump their trash because the roads would fall off and you'd see just.
Maybe that's a lot of maybe growing up in Indiana.
Piles over there. Place on the road.
People chuck things out the window all the time when I grew up. That was not, littering was not. It was constant.
Yeah.
It was an always, like a hamburger wrapper, out the window. Earth will take care of this. Maybe just being around my uncles and stuff. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I have one of those messy cars with water bottles and stuff in it all the time. So then sometimes when I need a cup holder and there's stuff in there and I've got a drink, I'll take one of the drinks out and I'll put it under Brady's tire and I laugh, I giggle. Because especially the next day when I come back and there's a smashed can, you didn't see it. Makes me just chuckle beyond belief. And then for some,
you think I'd learn? Yeah, park one over, but it doesn't matter. I've gone through 8 sets of tires.
Then you're not buying very good tires if a Coke can smush your tire. Yeah,
you got to remember his tire story.
$12, yeah. $12 per tire.
I fool them for $35.
I'm like, oh my god,
full price.
No, you're lying to us. You're a liar. You're just. Alcohol would make Brady's lies just obscene.
Oh, man.
His delusions would go away.
That's why I don't get drunk.
Spill the truth. We don't want to know. We don't want to know what you've done for some of the things you say you got for $20.
4 set of BF Goodrich, 25 apiece, full price.
Like, you are, nope. They're not giving us that whole story. Anyway. But throw the word pedophile in front of litter bug and suddenly no one cares about the litter bug part. You can't. Can't have it. But pedophile burglar? Yeah. Knock that dude out. Immediately. They finalized Caitlin Clark's contract. I'm very proud to say that they put the ink to the paper and Caitlin Clark is the latest 300,000 with her $76,535. And Brady hands me this that, I'm watching all these articles pop up. How come Wembanyama got $55 million on his rookie deal? Oh, because the NBA is wildly successful. Go f*** yourself. That's why. How come the hockey guy? Because it's wildly successful. How come all these others are wildly successful? The argument will never change. It's always because the league she's in isn't successful. Hate to break it to you. The ratings for the NCAA. They're like KDKB. They have one good moment in ratings, and you never hear the end of it.
They've had better ratings than the men's tournament.
Once. Ever. One time ever. Make it sustained. Do that over and over, and guess what's going to start happening? Money's going to start pouring into your stupid league. But until that happens, they still blame men for the fact that women's soccer never took off after the 1999 or 2000, whenever it was, World Cup, when the ladies went nuts, beat China. And they're like, oh, everybody loves women's soccer. Who knew? And they started a league, and it folded in 8 months because nobody went to the games. What happened? You're all misogynists. I'm like, no, we're not. It's just... We just like when you beat China. We don't care if it's children or women or old people. You beat China on a national stage. That's pretty good stuff.
And the the draft for this year, the WNBA draft.
Yeah.
2.4 million was the viewing. It's the largest ever.
For the WNBA.
I mean, after the WNBA.
Right.
And then Caitlin Clark was picked, and then it dropped down to 200,000.
Yeah, nobody watched. Yeah. I just wanted to see what she was going to do.
But.
They broke
They're
out.
Trying to say maybe the numbers are there. Maybe they are.
Hey, curiosity is going to get some people. Yeah. I'll probably watch an Indiana Fever game, but I'm not watching her play the Connecticut Sun 10 times this year.
I want to see the goat play the rookie.
I don't, because I can't look at Diana Taurasi's face for that long. I'll listen to it on the radio.
You could tell me it's happening tonight. There's a good chance I'll forget later on in the
day. That's right. That's true. Diana Taurasi is You think my face is not ready for TV? I don't want to watch her even playing basketball. I think that's enough.
You mean you're not going to get the WNBA package
this
year?
No. But I'll listen to it on the radio just to hear Kayla. I'm curious. Here's some fun facts, though, to just show you how capitalism works. She's going to make $338,000 over the next 4 years if she sticks it out with the WNBA. And they're saying it's an indignity that they pay her so little. It's like the league doesn't make any money. It's like Subway paying their best sandwich artist $2.5 million a year. It's going to break Subway. It says Harry the Hawk of the Atlantic, the Atlanta Hawks, the mascot. He makes $600,000 a year. But that doesn't just, that's not just misogyny. You're pissing off, you know, garbage truck drivers and cops and roofers and everybody who doesn't make $600,000 a year who puts their ass on the line. But they realize their company can't pay them $600,000 a year. They wouldn't have a company to go to.
And Harry the Hawk isn't only at the games.
Yeah,
it's got a little outside stuff. A lot of appearances outside.
It's a lot for a mascot. But hey, bring
that's
in
good
it
money.
Out.
That's good money.
Fang from the Rattlers probably makes that in a year. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You think that? Yeah, Fang's, oh, yeah. Fang's pulling in Caitlin
money. He's got that nice Harley and stuff.
Yeah. The three
that's
highest.
His. He has to bring that.
Yeah. The highest paid player in the WNBA is $225,000 a year. The Denver Nuggets, Rocky the Mountain Lion, is $625,000. The Gorilla is around $400,000.
What about Dinger?
Benny the Bull's about four. He makes $190,000.
Dinger does.
I looked that up a long time ago. You didn't make it.
Could have gone on.
You didn't make that kind of money as a mascot.
No. Because I wasn't really, you know, we were basically the fill-in for the first 3 years until it was Jay Bell's son that came up with the idea of the Bobcat.
But you were the answer until they're like, this isn't something we want to do anymore. Like, this regular fam thing is not. And we can't really, like, the kids aren't running up to middle-aged men for hugs and pictures.
They test-marketed the Drew Haybatta doll, right. And it just wasn't there.
That's what my point is. As good as you may have been at being everyday fan mascot, children running up to a guy for hugs isn't as kosher as a guy in a suit, a fuzzy suit.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't sell that plush.
No, it's harder to look at pictures. That's why there's no, people always say that. I don't know that Brady was ever actually the mascot of the Diamondbacks. There's no photographic evidence, nothing on the internet. And there's truth to that because no one, don't take a picture. It's just a guy.
That's why when I kind of straightened out, I was the, not the mascot, I was the village idiot
of
the Diamondbacks.
True. And to the kids, just the guy that people like, don't know, just avoid them. Take a picture from the distance, like pointing at them. But
you're the face for 3 years.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. So, yeah, mascots make money. There's nothing wrong with that.
She should have took the Barstool Sports gig.
Completely.
I mean,
for the money? Absolutely. But, again, the social pressures on Caitlin Clark to go make the WNBA something. That's a lot of weight. They're trying to compare her and Angel Reese to Magic and Bird. And I'm like, they turned the league around. It was, look, I don't see it. There was a lot of talent in basketball at the time. You still had Julius Erving. You still had Moses Malone. You had all these guys that were sitting there in the ABA, and then they combined them. There was a big influx of super talent in the NBA. Magic and Bird brought attention to that. It doesn't exist in the WNBA.
I'll tell you, the Bobcat was not making that kind of money when they hired him, and that's why he got caught with weed and everything.
Right. He's driving around.
I'm making this and Dinger's making that.
You think extreme mascot poverty led him to a life of weed?
Yes.
Yeah.
It happens.
That's why. I think, personally, he was probably smoking before he got into the suit.
Yeah, no, he was. But, and he was happy that he's getting his 32, 33 a year.
I wonder what he's pulling in. I bet he makes a lot more now.
The new one.
I wonder what Big Red makes, the Cardinals guy. The Gorilla's crushing it. Gorilla kind of, you know, he, the San Diego Chicken, the Pittsburgh Parrot.
I wonder what
Philly
Howler
fanatic.
Howler. Oh, never mind.
Oh, Howler's thank all you. Done. Howler's all gone. Now, watch this. Watch,
fun guy.
Watch
too.
How everything changes. Pedophile mascot. Well, you don't want to, it's just one thing. You can't put that name in front of anything. It's all bad.
We've got that.
Yeah.
Mr. Orange.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Orange, yeah. But again, that goes back to my argument that if you're trying to be a mascot for free,
yeah, he wasn't
I assume
on the
you're
he
a pedophile. I automatically assume you're up to no good. You're a groper. You're a pedophile. Something's wrong with you if you dress up
so
for
say it's
every
a,
game.
A freelance pedophile.
Yeah. You're not tied down to any employer. You just you, as the wind blows, pedophile. Yeah, if you're trying to be an unpaid mascot, you're into the kids. And I was proven right once again by Mr. Orange. Ronnie Woo Woo's been getting away with it in Chicago for ages. They'll get him. One woman feels him cupping a boob at sexual assault charge heading his way. We need a wake-up song. Let's get to it. 585-9800. A good one. We'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station. 98 KUPD.